Shaw. So he says, you know, what you are telling me sounds very good. One day I'd like to call you to my church to speak to my congregation.
My miner said, that will be the day.
But he'd like to call me one day. But I said, you see, all this what you're talking about is not important. It's not important. He said, look, we got the veritable Son of God. He died for our sins. He absolved us from all sins. You see, such a nice, nice, cushy feeling one gets. Somebody paying for you. You know, you can speed away 200 kilometers an hour, and when you get caught, Mr. Salim Muhammad is there to pay your fine. How nice, huh? Would you care to slow down? Salim is there.
With this half a dozen supermarkets, you know, to pay your fine for you.
How nice. You have a headache and I take the pills and you get healed. How nice. You have a rotten appendix, operate mine because mine is healthy. Huh? Look, this is something that the man loves. It. Anybody, we are all cowards by nature. Man is a coward by nature. You know, in the garden.
You read the Bible, tells you that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Mahoma, when they committed that mistake, and when God confronts them,
he says, Adam, why are you behaving like this, plucking leaves and putting on yourself? What's wrong with you?
He said, no. It's the woman that thou gavest to me. She made me to eat. Look, the coward. He's blaming the poor woman.
And he's blaming Allah. He said, the woman thou gavest to me. You know, if you didn't give me that woman, I wouldn't be in trouble. Look, the cowardliness of man. This is for saying that we are all like that. And you woman? He said, no, it's the serpent that beguiled me. Blaming the poor snake. This is man. This is man. We are all like that. So somebody else died for your sins. What a pleasant feeling you get. You don't have to exert it. You don't have to sweat. You don't have to pray 5 times a day. You don't have to fast for one whole month. You don't have to straitjacket your life. You don't have to do that. You just have to believe that Christ died for your sins and salvation is yours. So he's got that. What do you call this? Why do you waste time? It's not important. Important thing is Christ died for your sins.
That says, Dumini, you know, God Almighty, he knew this mentality of yours.
What you're talking now is as well known. So in verse 19, he warns. I was reading 18:18. We were expounding 18:18.
But as verse 19, it says, and it shall come to pass. Means it's going to happen. Allah knew. He said, look, it will come to pass. This thing is going to happen. That whosoever will not hearken unto my word, which he, that prophet, shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I'll fix him up. In the Roman Catholic Bible, it says, I will take vengeance from him, take revenge. God is threatening revenge. I said, you know, the 1,000 prophets that you're talking about, Christ? There's not one which is followed by such a threat. God Almighty himself is threatening, that I'm going to take revenge. If you will not listen to that prophet, who will speak in my name, and it's going to come to pass, it's going to happen, that there will be guys like that. He said, I'll fix them up. God Almighty is threatening revenge. And he doesn't frighten you? We get terrified. Some gangster telling us, hey, you're coming home tonight, this is put matches to your house. No, we can't sleep all night. No, we want police protection. No. Allah, when he threatens, God Almighty says, I am going to take revenge. And you say, it's not important. And I said, in whose name is Muhammad speaking? Whose name? Whose name is he speaking? He says, it shall come to pass that whoso will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name. His word, Allah's word, in my name, in Allah's name. I say, in whose name is Muhammad speaking? Look at the book. And this Yusuf Ali's translation has got a very beautiful arrangement. The end verses, end surahs. When you start from the very last, Surah Nas, chapter 114. You start with Surah Nas, every chapter, every page is a different chapter. Amazing. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, most... Every page is every chapter, different page. Every page... بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. In whose name is he speaking? In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Look how this prophet is fitting the Holy Prophet Muhammad. It's fitting him like a glove. We don't have to pull, stretch, hook or by crook trying to prove your case. We don't have to do that. It's fitting him like a glove. Every word, every chapter begins, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Amazing, amazing.
So, I says, you know, what we have to do? Find out, what is this man out to teach you? What is he telling you? Why don't you investigate? Why don't you make sure? What does he say? What is he telling you? He is not telling you that Jesus is not God, but I am God. He is not telling you that Jesus is not the Son of God, but I am the Son of God. He is not telling you that Christ didn't die for your sins, but I am going to die for your sins. Nothing. He is inviting you to the religion of God. Worship God, the Father in heaven, who is the only God, who is the real God. But I says, you know, in the time of Jesus, the Jews were waiting for this prophet to come. You see, the Jews have not produced another candidate. They are not making any claim to their prophecy. The only candidates are what the Christians produced, Jesus Christ and the Holy Prophet Muhammad. But in the time of Jesus, they were still waiting for this prophet of Deuteronomy 18:18. And the proof of that is, you open the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 19. And you read there that the Jews sent Levites and priests, learned men, to go to John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, who was in prison, to ask him, who art thou, who are you? Because the Jews had a number of prophecies, three. They were waiting fulfillment of three prophecies in the time of Jesus. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, Masih, translated Christ. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But they had another prophecy side by side, that before the coming of the Messiah, Elias must come first. Elias is a prophet supposed to have gone up into heaven by a whirlwind. And before the coming of the Messiah, this man Elias must come first. So when Jesus claimed that he is the Masih, the Messiah, Christ, they said, where is Elias? So he points out to John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, that John the Baptist is Elias, or in the spirit of Elias. So they were not satisfied with Jesus' recommendation. So they go to John to make sure whether he is what Jesus is telling him to be. So they ask him, number one, first question, art thou that Christ, the one we are waiting for, Masih, are you that? Now Jesus was the Christ, we believe that. So he says, no, I'm not. He is not that Christ. There can't be two Christ at the same time. Then they ask him, art thou Elias? Then he says, I am not. Now this is giving a lie to Jesus. Jesus says that John is Elias, and John says, I am not. Now, who is speaking the truth? Both are mighty messengers of God. According to Jesus, John the Baptist was the greatest of the Israelite prophets. Jesus said, among those born of women, there is not another greater than John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam. The greatest man among the Jews, the greatest prophet among the Jews, is Yahya alayhi salam, John the Baptist. And this greatest man, according to Jesus, says, I am not what Jesus is saying. So, one of them is not speaking the truth. Can we take sides? No. How can we say that Jesus was speaking a lie? How can we say that Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam was speaking a lie? I said, look, this is the problem for the Christians. Please don't enter into that. It's not our business. Let them solve that problem between Jesus and John. Who is speaking the truth? We don't want to know. But what we are looking for is, they ask him, art thou Elias? And he says, I'm not. Then they ask him a third question, art thou that prophet? And he says, no. Amazing. Three things they ask him. Art thou the Christ? He says, no. Art thou Elias? He says, no. Art thou that prophet? He says, no. Then they remonstrate with him. He said, why then baptizest thou, if thou art not the Christ, neither Elias, nor that prophet? There are three questions, three negative answers, and three remonstrances, remonstrating with him. Why then are you doing this? But you know, the learned man of Christendom, he can't see three questions. He can't see three answers. He always says two. You take any school child of standard two, and you tell him to read that. He can see three. He'll tell you, look, daddy, three questions are asked, three answers are given, and three times they're saying, why are you doing this if you are not this, not that, not that? But the learner then can't see his program, not to see. You show it to him. You must show it to him. Say, look, simple. Man, it's like a baby class. You know, you're teaching these children kindergarten, Baba Blackship. It is easy as that. Art thou that prophet? And any Bible which has what is called a cross-reference, a concordance on the side. Any Bible which has that, you'll find the word at the point, that prophet, you'll find a number. And you look at the number on the side, it'll tell you it refers to Deuteronomy 18:18.
And we know that that prophet of Deuteronomy 18:18 is not Jesus but Muhammad. We are not denying Jesus. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe in his miraculous birth. We believe that he was the Messiah. We believe that he gave life to the dead by God's permission, and he healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. And we are not going to dispute the thousand prophecies they're talking about, that about the coming of Christ. We are not disputing a single one of them. What we say is that this prophecy of Deuteronomy 18:18 does not refer to Jesus, but it refers to Muhammad. That is all. Now, you have to master this. And Jesus Christ gave them a test, which would like them to apply. He said, for there shall arise many false prophets and false Christs, who will show you great signs and wonders. Miracles. False prophets can do that, he said. Many false prophets and false Christs, who will show you great signs and wonders. If it were possible to deceive the very elect, even the chosen one of you can be deceived. Such miracles they can perform. And how are you going to know the truth from the false? He said, by the fruit you shall know them. What produce? What do they produce? By the fruit you shall know them. Do men gather grapes from the thorn or fig from the thistle? Do they? No. Every good tree will be good fruit, and every evil tree will be evil fruit. Judge them by their fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. We are not paragons of virtue, the Muslims. We are not. Let's admit it, that we have our black sheep like any other community. But, and I can boast, and I have been boasting, and I have not been contradicted, that my people, the Muslims of South Africa, we have the lowest alcoholic consumption in the country. You don't say we have no drunkards. We have our black sheep, our drunkards as well, who might drink any other Christian or Hindu under the table. We have them too. But we have the lowest alcoholic consumption in the country. We have the lowest gambling rate in the country. We have the lowest prison rate in the country. We have the lowest divorce rate in the country. We have the lowest suicide rate in the country. And we have the highest charity rate in the country. With what God has given us, we are the most charitable of people. We are the most hospitable of people. We are the most sober people. In everything. So we are not paragons of virtue. We have our black sheep. We have to admit. We have those crooks and cutthroats too. But as a people as a whole, there is not another nation or community in this country that can show a candle to us that we are better than you. What did it? This man's teaching. Forget everything. Remember this one thing. That at the present moment, there are 1,000 million Muslims in the world. 1,000 million Muslims, 1 billion. And we as a people, as a whole, we don't drink alcohol. We are the biggest society of teetotalers in the world. People who don't imbibe alcohol. Biggest society in the world are the Muslims. Despite all of our drunkards, we are still the biggest society of people who don't touch that stuff. But if Muhammad did nothing but freed mankind from this one evil, South Africa, we spent last year 2,000 million rand on alcohol. Last year we spent 2,000 million, 2 billion on gambling. Very little of our money went there, I hope. My dear brothers and sisters, we have given you this little booklet. Look, take it home. Master these verses. Master them. Memorize them to such an extent that, you know, you can stand on your head and you can rattle it off. That's the only way to learn. Is that when if you can stand on your head and rattle it off, so in case you are talking and the guy breaks you in the middle and he takes you off like a shark, you know, you can catch a shark, what happens? He's taking you this way, that way, and you pull it back again and the thing reels again. So same thing happens in a dialogue. You know, while at work, while you're having tea, the thing discussion starts and the guy takes you off. So what about this and what about Khomeini? We are talking about Deuteronomy 18:18, and he wants to know about Iraq-Iran war. He wants to know about this fellow. So, if you have mastered it, you can bring it back. Again, when you left off, it's a Sua CAS. You know, we are discussing Sua CAS. And Excel may word in the Mondale. And Excel may word in the Mondale. Can you see? So you must master this. You owe it to yourself. And I says, the pleasure and the privilege is ours. Allah has given it to us. Liyuzhirahu ala dine kulli. He's given you a deen that is to master, overcome, and supersede them all. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And enough is Allah is a witness for this fact that is going to make his deen to prevail with you or without you. It's a privilege Allah has given us that we can serve his deen. We can do the works of the prophets of God and earn a prophet's reward. May Allah be with you. وَأَخُبْ دَوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.